Hey, cats. Do you want to hear about murder? No? Well, too bad.
Oh, hi. What's up?
Norman, how rude.
Get out the way. Come on. Come on, baby.
I guess I better say hi. My name's Jess, and this is Humans Are Worse. It's a true crime podcast. If you didn't know that already, I wonder why you're here. Cats. Most likely cats, which I am fine with. But if you think it's just going to be about cats, this is your 5-minute warning. Well, might be more than 5 minutes. It just depends how long this ramble goes on. All my life, I've been told that I'm going to turn into the crazy cat lady. And it happened. But that's why I'm starting this podcast. So I can, I guess, accept the crazy. In this podcast, we're going to talk about how cats really are jerks. But ultimately, humans are worse. Yes, I'm glad you agree. So in daily tasks, I normally bite off way more than I can chew, especially at work. I've got into this habit of creating to-do lists. So I've decided to organise my life with lists. I think I've used up most of the office's post-it notes. I have so many things to do today, and I thought, I'll organise it. I'll make a list. Number one. Eat a pear. I have no idea why that's at the top of my to-do list, but did I do that as soon as I got home? Yes, I did. So, at least I checked one thing off. There I am, eating this pear that I've obviously thought big things of all day. And this is what I'm greeted with. Honestly, this is any time I eat, any time I'm preparing food. I promise I'm feeding my cat. What? Norman likes to be places where he is not welcome. He's always welcome in my heart. What was that? Norman, I know. That was terrible. I'm going to get this pear, as I've obviously been thinking about it all day. And what happens? The same thing that happens every day. The cat jumps straight into the fridge. And it's not even easy to get him back out. He really hunkers down in those shelves. You're pulling and pulling and he's just not moving. And it's not just the fridge. Whenever I open a freezer drawer, he gets in there too. And I think this cat just has a death wish or something, because if I'm trying to close the door, he doesn't move. He just completely stays there. I don't know what he's trying to achieve. What are you trying to get? Frostbite, cat. That's what you get. Frostbite. I would just like to put a disclaimer out there that I do not ram the freezer door into my cat's head. I'm just saying. If I did, it would not discourage him. Okay, hold that thought. I need tea. Okay. Tea has been gotten. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I know I've rambled on for quite a bit now, so let's get down to the stuff that you actually want to hear about, shall we? All you strange people wanting to hear about murder. Me wanting to tell you about murder. I don't know if that says more about you or me, to be honest. But hey, we're humans and we're the worst.
We start off in 1965 in Montrose, Houston, Texas.
So Marvin Martin, brilliant name, gets in touch with the Houston Police Department because he hasn't heard from his aunt and uncle in a few days. So the police decide to go around and do a wellness check. So they knock on the door, there's no answer. During a wellness check, it's up to the police to get a response, so they have to break into the house. When they break in, it's a bit untidy, but Nothing really seems out of place. Only thing that's maybe a little bit odd is that there's food left on the table.
And there was a foul stench. So, a bit like a student house, I guess. But the nephew actually said that this wasn't unusual. He even went so far as to tell a local newspaper that, I quote, Mrs. Rogers was a poor housekeeper. Now, if that's not sexism, I don't know what is.
One of the police officers, Captain Charles Bullock, he opened the fridge. No cat jumped in. How refreshing. How nice. And the shelves were lined with unpackaged meat. Okay, I kind of don't want to trade that. I'll do with the hair. He goes to close the door. And at that moment, something catches his eye in the vegetable drawer. He looks down and spots two severed heads. So this case was then known as the Icebox Murders, which doesn't actually make a lot of sense to me, because literally nowhere that I can find refers to the place in which the heads were found as an icebox. There's like vegetable drawer, veg crisper, which I didn't know what it was. I had to Google that. It just means a vegetable drawer. Something that I haven't actually pointed out. The pieces of meat were not just like pieces of meat. They were people. They were people meat. The fridge was full of people meat. An autopsy was done on all of the remains, and it was found that they were both drained of blood and chopped into little pieces and popped in the fridge. In order to do this, the person kind of committing the crime had to have some knowledge of anatomy, as it was done quite cleanly. But it seems like they didn't have knowledge of the sewer system, as they decided to flush some of the organs down the toilet. And of course this was found. But weirdly enough, not all of the organs were found. Make of that what you will. Edwina's cause of death had been a single shot to the head. And Fred... I just realised that my curtains are open. My neighbour's outside. I'm just, like, acting out, like, whacking myself in the head. It's fine. They're probably worried about me already. I have two cats and I live alone. So Fred had been beaten with a claw hammer. His eyes had been removed and so were his genitals. And I'm just making sure that Norman isn't listening. He's a bit touchy on the subject. He got neutered a few weeks ago and I don't think he's forgiven me yet. So the autopsy showed that murder had occurred 3 days prior to the bodies, or bits, being discovered. So this must have been on Father's Day. The police assumed that the house had been cleaned. However, da-da-da-da, forensic science. Even though you clean up the blood, we can still find it. Da-da-da-da-da. Even though it's the 1960s, we're not in the dark ages here. Although it feels like it. I couldn't actually find the information that states what they used. So I can kind of just assume, give you my expert opinion. So 1960s America, they possibly used luminol. You've probably seen it on crime shows. It's the one that glows. If you clean with bleach, that can denature DNA. But you couldn't DNA profile in the 1960s anyways, it don't really matter. It's the hemoglobin and the luminol that actually have a reaction causing fluorescence. And this can be used just for intelligence purposes. So for example, the location of blood, the amount of blood, the blood patterns. So it was actually found that the murders may have taken place in the kitchen and the bodies moved and drained of blood in the master bathroom. Science. However, on closer inspection, they actually found that the house wasn't as clean as it seemed. There were small amounts of blood There were small amounts of blood leading up to the attic bedroom. In here, they found a bloodied keyhole saw and a claw hammer. Turns out that the attic bedroom actually belonged to their 43-year-old son, Charles Frederick Rogers, but he was nowhere to be found.
A neighbour that lived next door for the past 7 years
didn't even know that Fred and Edwina had a son. Who is Charles Rogers?
Do you know?
I don't know. No, I do know. I researched. Well, he had a degree in nuclear physics, spoke 7 languages, and was a pilot in the US Navy during World War II. After World War II, he worked for Shell Oil Company for 9 years, before just randomly leaving and moving back home. No one actually knows why. While living at home, he would normally leave the house before dawn and then return after nightfall, so no one ever saw him. He even communicated with his parents by just slipping notes under the door. Even to this day, he is the sole suspect in the case. Can't find any information other than circumstantial of why they think that he did it. What if he was just a victim as well? So what do I think?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
So obviously the 60s, there wasn't technology that we have today. Some of the times we can look at samples that were taken from past crime scenes and get really good results from it. Other times, we cannot. For example, in this case, there's actually video online where you can see the police officers going around the crime scene just getting their hands over everything. So of course, if you're going to analyse that today, you wouldn't get any valuable results. But it's also important to note that with every crime, there's always information that isn't made public. So they must have something else on him, right? I think the biggest giveaway, really, is that whoever the perpetrator was had to have spent a substantial amount of time in the house after the crime had been committed. I mean, he took all of that time to clean up the house after spending time, obviously, dismembering bodies that had previously been drained of blood. Why am I working backwards? He obviously took the blood out first, then dismembered, then cleaned. He wouldn't have worked backwards. But also there was no forced entry. He might have just locked the house after leaving. But why? Why would he have done this? So there's actually a few theories I could find. While holding a press conference after the murders had been committed, well, obviously, it's not going to be before, is it? While holding a press conference, While holding a press conference, the chief of police was asked if the murders were connected to a string of murders in the area dubbed the Torso Murders. Chief of Police explained that there were no similarities to this case, so it was not pursued any further. Bit of a crap theory, but thought I'd add it. So the two biggest theories in this case were actually put together quite a while after the murders, and they're actually people that have written books and profited from this situation, shall we say. So the first was a book written by John R. Craig and Philip A. Rogers in 1992. They stated that Charles was hired by the CIA and was involved in the assassination of JFK. So if you know your timelines, it occurred 2 years prior. So they proposed that the motive was that he was making phone calls. It's the 60s, they can make phone calls, right? Right? Yes, okay, he made phone calls. So they were overhearing these phone calls and he kind of needed to, like, that means kill them, silence them. The next theory is from a book published in 2003 from Hugh and Martha Gardenia. So they spent years diving into this case. They were originally forensic accountants.
So they'll analyse records to find any fraudulent documents,
which was pretty good in this case because they managed to find a record stating that Charles Rogers, the son, was actually the owner of the family property.
So they explained that his parents were both emotionally and physically abusive and were faking his signatures to take out loans in his name. And therefore, this may be a motive of why he killed them. But this theory has been highly criticised, as a lot of the events in the book have been exaggerated and it's incredibly fictionalised. So whatever the motive, I feel like the issue we have here is, where did he go? So I'd just like to give an honourable mention to a theory that was posted online that I think is highly probable, and that is that Charles changed his name to Steve and became Captain America. Some people actually say that he moved to Mexico but was killed over a payment dispute. He was actually declared legally dead in 1975, 10 years after his disappearance. Neighbours stated that strangers would come and just stand outside the house on the anniversary of the murders, which just seems a bit creepy to me. The house was actually demolished in 1972, and in the year 2000, luxury townhouses were built. I actually took a look on Google Earth, and the house is actually really nice, but it's gotta be haunted, right? I may have cat hair in my fridge, but hey, at least it's not a human head.
And yes, I have been waiting the entire episode to say that.
I guess I'm just another example of why humans are worse. Want to change my mind? Well, let me know what your furry fiend is up to by emailing humansareworse@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, where you can get your lifetime fill of cat pictures at humansareworsepodcast.